Sir, can you please tell me the path to bondage and the path to freedom? And the sage opened his eyes and looked at the soldier and scolded him. He said, "You rascal, you coward, get out of here." He told him. The soldier became so angry. Immediately he jumped off his horse and took his sword out. And he was about to slay the head of the sage. And the sage smiled. And he told him, "This is the path to bondage." And at once the soldier felt shy for becoming unnecessarily angry. So he put his sword down and fell at the feet of the sage and told him, "In just a moment I lost all my control and behaved with you so rashly. Please forgive me." Again the sage smiled at him and told him, "This is the path to freedom." We are here assembled today in this Prerna festival to learn the path of freedom. We often hear of stories from the past, like the one which I was telling you now, of some sage or some king. Often the modern man tends to think that such stories are of not any consequence to the modern man. But I can give you a modern example. One chief executive officer of a company, he flew into a tirade in a board meeting where he had 4 vice presidents and 8 board members and 14 managers. This is a real story. In fact, he became so angry, he screamed and swore and bellowed criticism at the top of his lungs. And nobody knew what to tell him. Nobody had any clue of how to stop him. In fact, all of them, they sprang back into their seats and cringed into their seats, and they were looking at one another with their hinged eyes, all the board members. Nobody knew how to stop this person. And he went on and on, shouting and yelling. It went on for some time, and nobody found any solution to that. What would you do in such a situation? How might you have acted in such a situation? Next. In fact, we see a contrary example also in the life of Socrates, the previous one. You all know the famous philosopher Socrates. He used to call all his friends to his house and used to have philosophical discussions with them. One day, when he was having such discussions, he had an angry wife. She came and started yelling at him and shouting, "What about this thing? What about that thing? Why you didn't complete this? Why you didn't complete that?" And he didn't pay any heed to her. He just kept quiet. And after some time, Socrates found that his friends are becoming very disturbed. They are getting more disturbed by her instead of attending to the discussions. So Socrates said, "Okay, it's all right. Come, let's go to some park or somewhere else and let's continue our discussions there. I feel that you all are getting disturbed by my angry wife." And they all proceeded. When they came out of the house, when Socrates was just right outside the house, all his friends saw that somebody was pouring a huge bulk of water on his head, and his whole body became completely drenched. And then everyone, including Socrates, looked up, and it was none other than his own wife, who was standing on the first floor and showering water on his head. So Socrates didn't feel any anger at all. He just commented to his friends, "Some time ago the cloud was thundering and now it is showering." So cool. Socrates was not just a cool-headed man, but he was also a self-realized man. Srila Prabhupada quotes the example of Socrates in many places. How he was aware that I am not his body, but I am the pure spirit soul, different from the body. In fact, he proved that he self-realized by his own example. Towards the end of his life, once when his Now, enemies plotted to kill him. They planned to administer poison to him. He just laughed at them and told them, "You cannot even see me. Are you trying to capture me and kill me? You cannot even see me," he said. So he clearly knew that I am not this body, but I am spirit soul, different from the body. And he had the great wisdom to have such control over himself, his mind and senses. You can say, in our everyday life, even the most learned person, even the most educated person, who is experienced in the world for many years, even such people go out of control. Like some of the enemies are mentioned here. You see a man, the previous one, with the man kicking, or the angry woman, or a greedy man looking at the dollar notes, or a very proud man. So these six formidable enemies that are mentioned here, like lust, pride, envy, anger, greed and illusion. So all these enemies are called as internal enemies in our heart. And they shake us completely in our lives. At the least expected moment, one of these enemies could attack you. And you will completely become shaken up. Next. And because of such situations, we lose control. And many times we regret later, "Why did I speak like that? Why did I behave like that?" So where are these urges coming from? This was my question in my early school days. I used to consider this question very seriously in my life also. Where these pushings are coming from? Why do we feel lusty? Why do we feel angry? Why do we feel proud? Or why do we feel greed? Why these kinds of pushings are there in our heart? And why they make us behave just like an animal? For a moment we become like an animal. And you realize it. Huh? Not only anger, any one of these six urges. If you ask the scientists, many scientists have hardly any idea of where these urges are coming from. In fact, many of them are thinking that this is simply like some... No, previous. How it is moving? Yeah. How these urges are acting, many scientists are thinking that these are just some chemical secretions. It's like some C fibers are firing or delta fibers are firing, some chemical secretion in some portion of the body. Actually, chemical secretion is a result, it's not the cause. It is just a superficial manifestation of some kind of display of one of these emotions. But why do we exhibit such emotions? Where are these emotions coming from? As it is shown here, in this picture, we are just like puppets who are made to dance by some superior force. At these points of time, when we become controlled by these, any one of these urges. Next. Actually, as I said, although scientists don't have any complete understanding of where these urges are coming from, scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranas, Upanishads, they have got a lot to say about this. They say that these urges have a very deep meaning in everyone's life. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita it is explained that there are three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, which are like a mechanism which is put on every one of us to act in a particular way. Why do we act in a particular way? Originally, we all are pure spirit souls and we don't belong to this particular world. We belong to the spiritual sky, where there are pure spiritual emotions. Any emotion that is experienced in relation with God is called a spiritual emotion. So there is a spiritual family, spiritual society, spiritual love and spiritual friendship. But when the soul, individual soul, every one of us, we want to be separate from God and experience emotions and experiences independent of God, then we are brought to this world. And in this world, Because we come with various desires. In order to fulfill those desires, these three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, are three potencies of God which are employed on us so that we can experience different things. For example, say some living entity, some living being or soul wants to eat stool. So he needs a particular type of tongue, eyes, nose. Like when you smell stool, you run away. Or you plug your nose very strongly. Whereas the same stool, when it is absorbed by a pig, he comes running to eat it, gulp it immediately. Isn't it? Because he has a particular tongue. So that is called as mode of ignorance. So, mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, these are three potencies of God created to put every living entity in a particular frame of mind, in a particular psychophysical nature, so that he can experience different things that he wants to enjoy in this world, separate from God, foolishly imagining that these things will give me happiness. Here we are given an example, how in the same situation, three different men will behave in three different ways. For example, if there is a theater, and all of a sudden a fire breaks out, what do you think you will do? Based on this you can understand how you will behave. A person in mode of ignorance, as soon as he sees the fire, he'll get panic, he'll get fear, he'll get confused and disillusioned. Either he'll fall fainted on the ground, or he'll scream and yell and close his ears, and you know, he just can't do anything, he'll become inactive. He gets unduly fearful, he doesn't know what to do, how to act. On the other hand, a person in passion, what would he do? As soon as he sees fire, you'll see him running here and there. He will not know, he is searching for the extinguisher, but he's not able to get the extinguisher. He runs. Actually, the extinguisher may be right next to him, kept on a wall. But because of his hyperactive nature, he runs here, there, and he doesn't know where it is. So that is an active man who is running with agitated mind. But a man who is in mode of goodness, he will think calmly. He will analyze the situation. Now there is fire. And maybe in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it may probably spread from here to there. Besides that, there is also electricity passing. It's very dangerous. What will happen if the fire touches the electric wires? It will become even more disastrous. So the first thing I should do is to tell them to put off the mains and get some special lights. And then make some arrangement for putting off the fire. So he thinks very wisely, because he has a very calm mind. So a person in the mode of goodness, he has a calm, clear and creative thinking. So because his mind is very calm, he can think well, he can analyze the situation well. He knows what is right, what is wrong, what he hears, what he sees, what he tastes. He clearly knows to distinguish between the right and wrong. And also his mind is always calm, due to which he can find very effective solutions to all the problems of life. And by living such a life in goodness, he also is cleansed internally and externally, both ways. So in this way, one in goodness is at an advantage over those in passion and ignorance. When one is in mode of passion or ignorance, then because of too much of agitation or fear, then one is unable to come to constructive, effective solutions in life. In fact, one's valuable time and energy is spoiled in the mode of passion and ignorance. Next. When we all are sent to this world and we are covered by different modes, as I explained just now, goodness, passion and ignorance, we also may not even know, somebody has to tell us. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we come to understand that there are three modes in this world. Just like the parts of pain that are kept may not attract anyone easily. But the very same paints, if you use them for painting a Mona Lisa or some painting like this, immediately it evokes some emotion. Like it evokes some compassion, or evokes some lust, evokes some greed or anger or whatever, any picture you see, immediately it evokes some emotion in our hearts. Similarly, this material world is so created to attract all of our hearts. And in order to do that, These three modes are sprayed like red, yellow, blue colors. When you mix this red, yellow, blue, three colors, and make different paintings on a canvas sheet, that can attract everyone's hearts very easily and evoke some emotion. Similarly, if the whole world is arrayed with the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, and what is this world? It is simply a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So we have a false society, false friendship and false love in this world. And all these attractive things entice our heart very easily. And also it keeps us in illusion. That's how this world is created. Actually the reality is often hidden from our sight. For example, when you see movies, always they show, they sing duet songs, how boy and girl are enjoying. But they don't show the later part. They only show, only when they are lovers. They don't show, after they marry, they have children, they have to send the child to school, you know, they have to go to ration, they have to take the ration card and go to the market. They have to work hard and save some money in the bank. All that they don't show, isn't it? So, it looks very attractive to see. And although we know that this body is what we possess is made of stool and urine and pus and all these abominable substances, still because of the Maya Shakti, Mahamaya, who puts a veneer in our eyes, we tend to become madly attracted to the illusion of this world. Next. As I said, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Next. Yeah, here three things are given here. How passion is required for creation, and goodness is required for maintenance, and ignorance is required for destruction. Like strong desire, resourcefulness, attachment result, all these things help one to create. So creating and destroying is very easy. But what is difficult? Maintenance is most difficult. So Brahma and Shiva do the creation and annihilation thing. And maintenance is done by Krishna or Vishnu. So maintenance requires self-control, patience, regularity, sense of duty. This is the reason why many people cannot stay good for a long time. Bad things are very easy to learn. But good things are very difficult to learn and maintain for a long period of time. Next. We all can know in what mode we are in. It's not very difficult. After hearing a few slides, you will see that it is very easy for us to know about ourselves, what mode we are in. Now the question may arise, why do I need to know in which mode am I in? As I said, being situated in one of these modes is actually like a covering put upon us. So we are in illusion, assuming different roles and goals in life. Like for example, all of us now here, every one of you here, you all belong to a particular family. You belong to a particular nationality, you belong to a particular caste, creed, color and educational status. But how long is this so-called reality going to last? Only as long as we live in this body, isn't it? So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that we are actually atmas who stay in this body for some 70 years or 80 years or 100 years or whatever. And then once you die, then all this external identity is gone. Then you leave this body and you occupy a second body, third body, fourth body. So these bodies are just like vehicles. And while being situated in a particular body, you are in a particular mode. So now we will see in which mode we are in. And after understanding that, we have to know how to go beyond all these modes. So we gave the lecture title as Break Free of Bonds, because all the six urges are like ropes. I had gone to a time management seminar. So one of the slides I saw was very interesting slide. One of the slides he showed. So he was showing that a man was having his hand stretched and leg stretched, and hand was tied to one rope and this hand was tied to another rope, you know. Leg was tied and it was all being pulled in almost like 8 or 10 ropes are pulling him. And each rope he had named, like cigarette smoking, you know, drinking wine, or you know, hunting for women, you know, things like that, different things. So the man was giving the lecture, he was telling that these are actually different ropes that are binding us. And we are almost made like a slave of these habits. In the same way, And the six urges, lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion, greed, they are all like cords or like ropes that are actually binding all of us. So breaking free means becoming free from them. But then, how are these ropes, the six urges binding us, connected to the three modes? That we'll be seeing eventually. Because every one of this, like anger, it is a mode of passion. And it goes to mode of ignorance. Lust is a mode of passion, like that. Greed is also a mode of passion. So most of the six urges, they begin with passion and end in ignorance, like that. So if you know in which mode am I in, then we can understand that this mode is actually a rope that is binding me, and how can I go beyond this mode? That also we can understand. Like everything in this world is in some mode. Like you see these animals, like the cow or the elephant is in mode of goodness. See, this elephant is large, strong and gentle. And he always eats only vegetarian food, fresh vegetarian food. He eats only grass. And he knows intelligently how to cooperate with human beings. And he can lift big trunks of wood and help human being. And human being takes care of maintenance of the elephant. In fact, in many Indian temples, you'll find the elephants maintained. And these animals in mode of goodness, they may have a huge body, but they are actually not fierce. Like you see a cow, you go and caress her neck, she'll just keep very calm and quiet. Because that is actually the mode of goodness. Next. See, the mode of passion, lion or a tiger. This is actually mode of passion. You can see, even if you catch a lion or a tiger and put him in a cage, still you'll find them moving inside the cage. You've seen? Moving back and forth. And even when he's sitting, he'll be very, very, his whole body will be shaking. Very fierce and aggressive. That shows the mode of passion. That is why these animals, like tiger and lion, they kill other animals and eat their flesh, like killing the deer and eating their flesh. And they have a tough time cooperating with human beings. You will see that even it's very difficult to catch them, very difficult to maintain them. So they are in mode of passion, aggressive. Next. Animals in ignorance. Nowadays you see camels even in cities nowadays. You see a camel, his eyes are so closed, even if you lift the eyelids it will come back. He is so much absorbed in mode of ignorance. Donkey or a camel or fox, jackal, all these animals are in the mode of ignorance. Like you see the jackal, he always eats the flesh that is left behind by the tiger or the lion. He eats only the stale food which is rotten and left behind by ferocious animals like tiger or lion. Also you find fox is a nocturnal animal. It keeps awake in the night and it sleeps in the day. And is always fearful. He always hides in a hole. He peeps out and goes inside the hole. He's fearful. So we can see the mode of ignorance clearly exhibited by these animals. That means all the animals are also in different modes, not only human beings. Next. Even the times of the day, we have Brahma Muhurtam in the morning. That is a mode of goodness, very conducive for spiritual practices. And we have the noon, when people are highly active. We can see in the city how people are active during the day, mode of passion. And the night is in the mode of ignorance. So all the times of the day are also in different modes. In this way, we can talk about everything in this world to be in some mode. Even this wall, this color is in the mode of goodness. Yellow color. Red color is in the mode of passion. Black color or dark colors, they are in the mode of ignorance. Sometimes you see people wearing gaudy colors. You have seen that? You know what is the meaning of gaudy? So in this way, even the colors, they evoke different moods in people's hearts. Like that. Next. What makes us bound? The material conditioning makes us bound. Like you see this man behind the bars and a man who is free. In the same way, these three modes, they bind us in this world. I was telling you about animals in passion, ignorance, goodness and all. Similarly, the day and times, everything. Similarly, human beings are also in different modes, which you will be seeing just now. But when we are covered over by the modes, those modes dictate you to behave in a particular way. Now we will see the qualities of different people in goodness, passion, ignorance. Then you will understand how these modes dictate you to behave in a particular way. If you are above the modes, then you will not succumb to these temptations, urges that come in your mind. But when you are covered by the modes, they simply make you a slave, just like a man put behind the bars. Next. Originally we have pure love for God. In fact, that love is the last word in religion. There is nothing beyond that. All we need to achieve is pure love for God. We don't have to achieve it, we have to revive it. We have it. We originally had it, but it has become covered over. Because when the jiva, the soul, comes from the spiritual world to material world, that love becomes transformed into lust. Just like milk, if you put some lemon in milk, it becomes transformed into yogurt or dahi. Similarly, the love becomes transformed into lust. Krishna explains about this. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamah kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammohat sammohat smriti vibhramah smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. He explains how the love becomes lust, and when lust is not fulfilled, lust can never be fulfilled because it's like never ending. Lust is like a fire in which you put oil, it grows more and grows bigger and bigger like that. So when lust is not fulfilled, it becomes frustrated anger, called as the wrath. The wrath turns into moha, illusion. And the illusion is the mode of ignorance. And then that mode of ignorance leads us to suffering continuously in this world. And we go on continuing living this world, again and again, absorbed in ignorance. In fact, ignorance is the cause of committing sinful activities. And when you commit sinful activities, you get the suffering, reaction to that. On the other hand, if you find out how not to degrade in our life like this, instead, harness the energy that we have into positive energy by Krishna consciousness, come to mode of goodness, and then we can achieve the love and ultimately the eternal bliss. So be bound or be free, the choice is yours. So now let us understand how we are bound and how we are going to become free. So even before explaining about that, right now we have given the choice here itself. That there is a way to degrade ourselves, there is a way to uplift ourselves. The first step is to understand how we are undergoing the hard struggle in this world. When we talk about modes, it's very easy to feel that, you know, this goodness, passion, ignorance is not so important for me. But you can see the relevance in your own life. In the scriptures, the pavarga is explained. Pavarga is pa, fa, ba, ba, ma. Pa stands for parishram. Fa stands for fena, foam. Ba stands for bandhan. Bha stands for bhaya, fear. And ma stands for mrityu, death. It's explained that everyone in this world who is born into this world has to work very hard. Nobody can deny that. Especially you all are living in Bombay. You know how Bombay life demands hard work. The way people travel in the train. First time when I came to Bombay to join IIT, I was standing at Dadar. And the first train came so much overloaded with people hanging out of the trains. I thought that probably the next train will be better. So I was waiting. And then second time, third time, fourth time passed. And almost all the trains are like that. And I didn't know what to do. One person told me, you just go and stand near the train, that will suck you in. Somehow that was my first apprenticeship in traveling in a train, practice. I went with my luggage near the train and some more people swallowed me inside. And the next station they spitted me out. So much crowd of people hanging from the trains. People gulp down fast food in the morning, travel long distances, they rise early in the morning, come late in the night. People work hard like anything. That's why he says the hard labor. Prabhupada tells us the story of a donkey, how this donkey carries a huge, washerman puts a big load on him, isn't it? He has to carry the load of clothes. Actually, there was one intelligent donkey also, who told the other donkey, Why are you carrying so much of load every day for the washerman? You are taking this much load and you are going to the riverside and then you are bringing that cloth back. Why do you need to do all this? At the end of the day, the washerman feeds you just a handful of grass. For this you have to work so hard. That grass is available in all the pastures. Why do you need to work so hard? And the donkey said, "You fool, you don't know. Of course you are getting grass and I am also getting grass, but my master has promised me some better prospects." I said, "What is the better prospect?" "You know, the other day when there was a quarrel at home, the washerman was telling his daughter, 'You foolish girl, if you don't obey me, I will get you married to that donkey.'" So donkey said, "I am hoping for that day, one day I will get married." So in this way, many better prospects are dangled in front of us. You can imagine whether donkey will ever get married to that girl. So, city life makes us work very hard. And faina is the foaming in the mouth. People who work so hard, they work so hard, they have sleepless nights. They have ulcers and they have indigestion. And how much do they eat? Prabhupada used to challenge. Now they are eating 5 chapatis. After 5 years, even if you earn 5 lakhs, you are not going to eat 50 chapatis. You are going to eat the same 5 chapatis. Now you are living in one room kitchen. Even if you have a house where you have 30 rooms, are you going to live in every single room? You can't live more than one room. You can't expand like Krishna expands in Dwaraka. Isn't it? Then why should we form in the mouth and work? The bondage is a bandhan. One story comes to my mind of a city rat and a village rat. A rat in the village was approached by a city rat, and city rat told him, "What kind of life you are living here in your village? Useless, good for nothing. You just come to city and see what kind of foodstuffs I eat." And the village rat believed him. "Okay, sir, I'll come with you." So he also came and lived in the city with him. So then he took him to a huge bungalow, palatial building, fully made up of marble. So they were living in a hole. And then the next day, they both came out, they climbed on a table. And the table was full of varieties of foodstuffs. There were different kinds of curries and different kinds of sweets and pizza and ice cream and sweetmeats and whatnot. There were practically hundreds of varieties of items kept on the table in different bowls. The village rat exclaimed, "I have never seen a food like this ever before in my life." And the city rat said, "That's why I told you to come to city, just see." And then while they were tasting different foods, all of a sudden there was a big sound. Pah! Like there was a sound on the table. And the village rat looked like this. And just 2 inches away from him, there was a big stick which was being beaten on the table just 2 inches ahead of him. And at once he found that the city rat was absconding. And he also ran behind him as fast as he could. And they both proceeded in the hole again. And then the village rat asked the city rat, "What happened? What happened? What was that sound?" "It was like some thunderbolt falling from the sky for me. What was it?" City rat said, "Oh, nothing. Don't worry. See, whenever we go to eat, we have to be a little careful. You know, the watchman comes to hit the stick on the table. You have to just take a little care. It's a little bit of risk you have to take whenever you want to live in city." Told them. Village rat said, "You nonsense. I must have lost my life. You know, I barely escaped with my life." He said, "In our village we never had the trouble. We used to get broken rices. When we used to live in the farm, there was abundance available. We never had this kind of risky life where you have to even risk your own life," he said. And then he went back to his village. Anyway, there are many people who leave the villages and they come to city for various reasons. They come because in village you will be very respected when you come to city. Your father can tell you or tell his friends that my son has gone to city, Bombay or whatever. And also people come hoping that they can earn a lot of money when they come to city. But then they find that more than half the money goes in maintaining oneself. What money are you going to send home? Like that. In fact, whenever I tell such stories, boys sometimes challenge me, saying that we like having some ambition in life. Don't say that we cannot take risk. Why can't we take risk? Why should we simply be like that village rat who was so timid? We want to have some challenges in life. I certainly appreciate somebody who wants to have ambition and challenge in life. But adventure and foolhardiness are not same. You know the difference between adventure and foolhardiness? Like sometimes you see some boys going in bike, wow, you know, going in bike, you have seen. Sometimes they go and have a big accident and die, isn't it? Similarly, we should know what is adventure and what is foolhardiness. Now people in the modern times live such lives where in the name of economic development there is no peace of mind. The purpose for which they are earning money is not served. They accumulate a lot of money, but there is no peace of mind like that. That is why the bandhan, the bondage, although we may work hard and earn a lot, we are led to bondage. Tavat ragadaya stenaha. The gopis are praying to Krishna. Tavat karagraham graham. Tavat mohongri nagado. Yavat Krishna natejanaha. Those who don't become Krishna jan or devotees of the Lord, they pray tavat ragadaya stenaha. For them the attachments become stenaha, thieves. They get into various wrong attachments. Like this, many attachments that actually steal away, plunder away the wealth they have earned. Tavat karagraham graham. The home becomes a prison for such people. Tavat mohongri nagado. The affectionate feelings for the relatives, friends and others, that becomes like foot shackles. And such a person can never escape from this world and go back to God. All these things lead him to bondage. And fear, there is enormous fear in this world. You can see huge walls, you know, they keep broken glass pieces on the top of those walls. Or you find huge gates, or in the banks you find chowkidar standing with guns, like that. All these things are display of fear. There are burglar alarms everywhere. So there is always fear. When we are living in this world, what is because of these things? The earth on which we are sitting now, which is giving us support, can become a source of fear for us. When there is an earthquake. When I was here, right here in this place, there was ashram in those days, 1992. I was just in that ashram by the side. One early morning there was an earthquake. We were actually sleeping on a cot and we were rolled down to the ground, right here. So there was a shivering of the earth for some time. It lasted for almost two minutes or so, I think. And after that it subsided. So earthquake can come anywhere. The very same earth which is giving us support can have a quake where it can break into two, you go inside, chatak chatak, can close. So it becomes a source of danger, fear. Similarly, the fire that is used for cooking purposes, so important, that can cause a fire accident. Or the water that we use for drinking and bathing can cause a flood. Everything. Air can cause typhoon, cyclone, which is so essential for our survival by breathing. That means the most essential five Panchamahabhutas essential for our survival can also become the source of danger in this world. That's why there is bhaya at every step. And ultimately, inevitably, everyone is led to death in this world, which no one wants in this world. Like you see, even the richest man, he goes to the best of the doctors who administers the costliest of the medicines in the most famous hospital in India or America. Surrounded by all the medicines, he will die pitiably. Because everyone has to die one day. That is why this pavarga is the condition of everyone who is subjected to the three modes. Everyone who is under the three modes will be subjected to this pavarga. So we have to achieve apavarga. Apavarga is opposite to pavarga, which means going beyond the three modes. Next. Now we are coming to the coming three slides. I would request all of you to be very attentive, because you are going to test yourself now, which mode you belong to. So we are going to show you three families. First, the family of Dr. Bright. So Dr. Bright holds a MD degree and he lives in the countryside, and being a doctor, he has his own clinic and he attends to many patients. He is a very selfless person, very honest and truthful, and he also sometimes gives free treatment to very poor people. He takes money only from the rich ones. If somebody is very poor, he might even offer free treatment to them. And because he has seen many patients coming to him due to extramarital relationships, they have had problems. So he is always faithful to his wife. He never goes for illicit sex. And because he knows that killing animals is barbaric, he never eats meat. And he has seen many patients who drink liquor and who smoke, due to which they come with varieties of diseases. So he never smokes. Not to speak of giving up liquor, he doesn't even drink even anything containing any kind of intoxicant like coffee or tea or anything of that sort. He leads a very pure life. And considering from the viewpoint of any average man in society, this family is considered exceptionally pious. They are very religious. Worshipping God is their everyday activity. And they have their small farm, they have a cow, and they are not very prosperous, they are mildly prosperous, but are very contented and satisfied, and are always grateful to God for whatever God has given them in their life. Similarly, Mrs. Bright also, she is very contented housewife. And sometimes Mr. Bright, he reads philosophy, he reads poetry, he reads the scriptures. In this way, they lead a very happy life because they don't perform sinful activities. They don't get much suffering. So in that life of wisdom and knowledge and pure living, they lead a very happy life. This is a life in mode of goodness. Next. Here is Mr. Smith and Larry. So Mr. Smith and Larry, they live in a poor city. And Mr. Smith works for a multinational company. And every morning, always he gets up pretty late. He gets up at 8 o'clock. And as soon as he gets up, sometimes he doesn't even take a bath. He just very quickly gets ready. And then he has to fight the traffic. On the way, he goes to some shop and gulps down some fast food. And he has to fight the traffic and reach the office. When he reaches the office, there are many files awaiting him there. And he calls these files as headache, which he has to solve all day. Of course, he is very happy with his job because it pays him an abundant salary, big salary, by which he can also run his family as well as do some shady business in the evening besides his office hours. And Larry, his wife, most of the time, recently they got a child, and she is very busy decorating the child and sending the child to school. And she is very concerned about the prestige of the family, that when the child is going to school, people should know that the child comes from a very prestigious family. So she dresses the child very smartly. And she also goes to beauty salon, a beauty parlor, to make herself more beautiful. She spends a lot of time in front of the mirror, combing her hair and putting lipstick and cosmetics all over her body, wearing modern dress. And most of the time they spend in going for party, going to beach. For them, money is honey. They are very eager to earn lots and lots of money. Because of that, they have such a great hankering in their heart, due to which many times they have sleepless nights. They can't get their mind is so much bound that they can't get proper sleep, and they work very, very hard. What about God? Of course, they are very concerned about going to temple. They go to temple also. But they don't go to temple to take darshan of God, they go to give darshan to others. They dress very smartly. They go to show to other people how beautifully they can dress. We also go to temple. For the sake of prestige, they go to temple. Just to make a show that we are also religious. Because in their society, everyone is going to temple, and if they don't go, they will be considered an atheist. So just to make a show, they go to temple like that. Quite often they have fights between husband and wife. Because both their expectations are not met. They both are too greedy for achieving too many things in life. So they have quarrels. But Smith doesn't care about quarrels. He says, there is no problem so great that sex cannot solve it. So sex is very primary for them. So in mode of passion, two things are prominent. Sex and hankering for honor. These two things are very important. Sometimes they even give charity to organizations like social welfare organization. They may give charity. But they are very keen to know that their name is put up on the black marble. Or their fame is not forgotten. This is the family of Smith, in the mode of passion. So they are mad after seeing glamour and showing glamour, both. Next, mode of ignorance. This is a family of Dull and Gramble. So these are real names. Huh? This is Dull and Gramble. So these people, they are very fond of intoxicants. They eat meat, they drink wine, sometimes they get high on drugs. And they have a tendency to always postpone things. They plan to start a business 3 years ago. Till now nothing is done. They always have a tendency to postpone. And they always look very dejected. And what about God? God is the last thing they want to hear about. They have nothing to give and take with God. And they sleep too much. What a Sunday afternoon, you can imagine. So these people also, they sleep too much, take to all kinds of intoxicants, and many times they act foolishly, absolutely no interest in spiritual life, always high on drugs, crazy, dejected, dizzy. So this is the family, dull and gramble and mood of ignorance. In fact, they never married, they're living as husband and wife. So this kind of illicit sex is very common, just like cats and dogs for them. This is very, very common. So this is a family in mode of ignorance. Next. So now I am sure you all must be pretty clear about the families in three modes. And we can ask ourselves in which mode we belong to. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, what will be the result of acting in different modes? Like the last family we saw, acting in mode of ignorance. So these kind of actions lead us to become animals like birds or bees or reptiles or trees. Like in the Bhagavatam, there is an example of Nalakur and Manigrev. They belonged to the Kubera's family. They became sons of Kubera. But then they became a tree later on because of drinking. Similarly, a family in the mode of passion, because of passion and hankering, working hard and maintaining the desire at the time of death, their frame of mind is such that they may achieve some big position where there may be a threat for the life also. How many cinema actresses have been killed? How many rich people, how many rich presidents and prime ministers, their body has been shattered to pieces? Because one who wants a high position may get it, but also one has to be ready for the dangers associated with it. Sometimes they may become mad also due to that hankering. Madman. And those in the mode of goodness, according to Bhagavad Gita, they will be elevated to a higher position of demigod or any higher position, or even somebody born in a family of Brahmanas or Vaishnavas, from where one can elevate oneself in spiritual life. But one who goes beyond the three modes, he goes to the pure goodness and he can return to the kingdom of God. That means one who goes beyond these three coverings. Now if we ask any of you, in what mode you want to be? How many of you want to be in mode of goodness? Past majority, very good. How many of you want to be in mode of passion? Okay, a handful. How many want to be in ignorance? Nobody. Combination of power. Actually, we all at different times go to different modes, but predominantly we will be in one mode. See, if you are predominantly in mode of goodness, then you can have a calm, clear and creative thinking. But sometimes certainly we all go to mode of passion when we do creating or destroying a thing. We go to passion and ignorance. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. You go to different modes. But predominantly one has to be in one mode. But even if you are in goodness, in one sense it is useless. Because repeatedly we will be born. If you are born repeatedly, then old age will come, disease will come, death will come again in any body. So one has to go even beyond goodness, in pure goodness. It's very technical, but I'll tell you briefly. Pure goodness means understanding I am not the body, I am the soul. And I don't want to be born again and again. Understanding who am I, who is God. Understanding the relationship with God. Then one can go out of this world. That is actually in pure goodness. Acting exactly according to the instructions of God by understanding the soul and God relationship. Next. Here, in conclusion, we are offering you three solutions how to act in goodness and go beyond it. So this is the solution part, which is most important. It's very important to know how to act in the mode of goodness.